And that's right, everybody. Welcome back once again to another edition of the Best Seat in the House podcast. As always, I'm your host, Rob Kramer, joined by my co-host, Daniel Bobo Carlin. And Dan, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good. Still stoked from that playoffs yesterday, and the day before that Knicks late minute go ahead points at the end of the game. It was like nuts. I don't know if my TV could handle all the shaking from me celebrating. The whole other reason why my TV has to be worried because of the shaking for the celebrating. Yep, exactly. And they just answered right back. And I got to give kudos to them for that. And I got to tell you, I just had a feeling some point during the first round, I had a feeling there's going to be some big scuffle that's going to happen. It just looks like it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. When you look at everything that has happened, how could it not, realistically? The whole point of people complaining about officiating a lot of the time was that, it, you know, let the officials handle it, otherwise we will type thing. That's if you're not going to call the penalties when they need to, there's going to be frustration on the side of the team that is getting the bad side, or at least feels like they're getting the bad side of things. They're getting the shaft, so to speak. And, you know, that's only going to mount in a series like this. You know, it's already heated right now. You know, we saw how heated things got at the end of game two. It's only going to ramp up in game three and game four down in Washington. And the officiating better, you know, reflect what's going on the ice. Otherwise, Matt Rempe specifically, or somebody on that line, maybe Barclay Goodrow, there will be a price to pay, and it's not going to be any of those guys' fault if Rempe has to take a guy's head off to send a message to the Washington Capitals, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And if you saw me on Twitter, I posted, I said, I predicted, and I don't know if you could actually bet money on this, but I predicted that Rempe at some point during the first round was going to get a Gordie Howe hat trick.
I did see you say that, and that wouldn't surprise me either. But I got to say too, one thing before we move on from that last game, actually, one thing I have liked though is it looks like Laviolette and the veterans on this team have talked to Rempe, and they've really kind of reined him in a little bit to where he plays with a real edge in his game. You know, we've seen the hits he's been throwing. We've seen cross checks and everything from him. One time he got called on it, but you know, I feel like Rempe is, and he's been challenged by guys on the Capitals so far. We've seen it multiple times from a couple of different guys, and Rempe has stayed away from the fighting. And I think he's doing a really good job of picking his spots. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. He's been doing a great job, and I just have a feeling Rumpy's going to be one of those that's going to have some big moment that we don't expect to happen. I just feel like that always happens with every championship team. There's a player that just comes through in some big moment, and we don't expect that player to have a big moment, and they end up having a big moment.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. They, it's always the guys that you don't count on too, you know? So that's, it's always funny how that works out. But, and how about the way that fourth line has played so far this series? It's, with VC having that incredible game one, and obviously Barclay Goodrow had a couple of assists, and we all know Rempe scored the first goal of the playoffs. So yeah, it's always those guys that fly under the radar, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I can tell you, I'm probably going to need a lot of that. I bet pretty much what one of my social media, one of my Twitter friends said when I said, yeah, I'm going to need a lot of tea after that. And one of my Twitter friends responded, yeah, you're probably reaching for the big low tea right now. Yeah, I just got those advertisements that Howie Rose does stuck in my head.
No, you're right. You're right. And yeah, I definitely think that you know, the we're definitely gonna need some Bigelow tea going, you know, forward for the next couple of months. You got that right, buddy, because the you know, especially what you could really use some Bigelow tea for was that Knick game the other night. Because as incredible as the Rangers win, man, what about this one? The Knicks down, well, actually, it was 101-96 with just about a minute remaining in the game. And it ends up being a 104-101 victory after a three from Jalen Brunson makes it 101-99. Then a three from Dante DiVincenzo gives them a 102-101 lead. And, you know, it's no holding back from there. 104-101 victory. Really, really awesome the way they pulled that out, right, Dan?
Yeah, that is just really, that is just really impressive. I expect it to be more big ones. I can tell you that game there was something funny that happened. That game I did reach for the tea, but that game I accidentally grabbed the tea with the caffeine. That time, usually at night, I usually grab the caffeine tea, but I actually grabbed the caffeine tea and like oh. Like I don't know how I don't know how I powered it through at the UPS, but I did. I did power it through because sometimes this caffeine tea, when you try to sleep, it just takes so long to get tired with that. But I pulled it off, but that was just what still one heck of a win. My voice was shot after that game. Like there may have been like I know I joke about sometimes, you know, getting angry smashing a TV, but I kind of forget, yeah, the shaking that could cause the TV to break. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's true, man. And you know, there's a couple of things too that we really have to talk about before we move on from the Knicks here. But you know, just really incredible the way the team has played. You know, game one, not only did Jalen Brunson not have a good game, I mean, his final, you know, box score, whatever you want to call it, his final line didn't look too bad. 22 points, 7 assists. Same thing with his game two. Not that bad on the line score, but it's not the efficient Jalen Brunson that we're used to, the superstar Jalen Brunson that we saw in the playoffs last year. He hasn't really found that form in the playoffs yet. And obviously, I fully believe he will eventually. He just had a couple of bad games so far. But the rest of the team and the emergence of this Knicks culture that we're actually starting to hear about now that Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau have built for this Knicks team has just been incredible. You have to give credit to Miles McBride. That guy has come off the bench and has been phenomenal. It seems like everything he touches turns to gold. He just gives the Knicks a kick in the ass whenever they need it. So, phenomenal job by Miles McBride. Obviously, Josh Hart, who, you know, he goes cold at times, but he's got a flair for hitting a big shot. And the way the guy rebounds, too, man, you wouldn't think. He's like 6'2", 6'3", which in the NBA isn't really that big compared to the other guys, like, you know, Embiid, who's 7'2". But Josh Hart is going out there and out-rebounding and you know, playing with his heart on his sleeve, no pun intended. You know, this guy goes out there and just has, you know, more spunk out there than anybody. You have to give credit to a guy like Josh Hart that has just rounded into such a good player when the Knicks really needed him to.
Yeah, exactly. I got to give credit to everyone. This whole team has just come together. I've never seen a Knicks team that's just been gelled so well together in ages, and I'm excited about it. And I expect a very deep playoff run.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm with you on that. That's something that we got to see. And you know, as we talked about the emergence of Miles McBride in this series, not only this year, I want to give that guy credit because he deserves it. But you know, obviously, that was just one of the most incredible Knick wins. I said as soon as I saw that in game two, that to me that felt like the most improbable, crazy Knick win since the Larry Johnson 4-point game. Or the 4-point play back in 1999. You know, what do you think about that, Dan? Do you think that's accurate, or can you think of anything since then?
That no, that had it's accurate. That was I feel that is very accurate. I mean, I cannot tell you how weird it is since last year and this year, because it feels like very rarely I've been I forget that there's basketball going on, because sometimes it's very rarely you have these times where the Knicks make the playoffs, and we're having that, and they're in, and the fact that they're right there in contention, it's still so hard to believe that I'm watching a Knicks game in this time of year.
Yeah, it's true, Dan. You're right about that. And hey, we got used to the Knicks not playing this time of year, so it's very cool to see the Knicks playing with the Rangers in the playoffs and the Knicks playing at the same time as the Mets and the Yankees, which really hasn't been the case outside the spring training the last few years, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm all for it. I'm stoked. I'm stoked about it. It's just gonna be a lot of game watching, and a lot of tea. It's gonna be consumed.
Oh yeah. Now actually, one last thing I wanted to get on. I did so we got all of that NFL draft stuff ready to rock, but I did want to touch on one more thing for the Rangers. I forgot actually to mention this earlier. We're a little discombobulated today. But will Hedl play, Dan? What do you think, man? I mean, we're hearing a lot of speculation from the media, but nothing from the head coach. But he's saying that he's trending in the right direction. They're saying that Filip Hedl is at practice. He's cleared for contact, so they're ramping him up slowly. But if he's cleared for contact, it's not like he's skating in the red no contact jersey. So that means he's already been cleared by the doctors. So what do you think, Dan? Do you think we see him at some point in this series, or do you think it's a second round time at best?
I feel like maybe it could be. I feel like realistically might be the second round outside shot. We see him at least in game. We'll see him as early as game four.
It's true, it's true. But too, I also feel like Laviolette is waiting to, he's picking his spot. You know what I mean? I feel like he's waiting to see what like when the Rangers need a kick in the ass. Like I think ideally he'll have it where ideally they'll have it where the Rangers don't need him into the second round. But let's just say that the Rangers have a tough time scoring in Washington. I could see maybe him making an appearance late in the series, game four, or hopefully it doesn't go this far. But if it does, game five at the Garden, too, I could see. And, real quick, just to wrap up on that, do you think that if they do go down that route and have Hedl playing in this series, do you think that they're going to have him starting off on maybe the third line, or do you think we see him playing on the top line with Mika and Kreider?
I feel like right now, because he's just come back, I feel like he'll probably be in a third line.
Yeah, just to start, that's true. And Roslovic also has been playing pretty good on that top line. He has a good defensive game, and he did score a goal the other day too. Power play goal, which was very cool to see. So his
Yeah.
first career playoff goal.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm still trying to debate if the correct pronunciation of Lafreniere. Because I hear Sam Rosen saying LaPierre a couple of times.
Yeah, I know. I've heard a lot of different pronunciations.
Yeah.
I've heard Lafreniere, Lafreniere, I even heard.
Yeah,
So I don't know.
exactly. I gotta ask Aaron Berg the correct pronunciation. I think, because I know if I'm correct, Aaron Berg grew up in Quebec, so he might know how to pronounce a Quebecy style a Quebec kind of last name.
That's true. Berg would definitely have a much better understanding of that than we would. So we definitely have to, too. If the Rangers, I first of all, I love Aaron Berg as a comedian. He's one of my favorite comedians. But we definitely should have him on if it ends up being a Rangers and Maple Leafs Stanley. What would be the Eastern Conference Final? That's really the only way we could match up with them. But if if the Leafs end up getting that far, it'd be pretty cool to have Bergeron talk about that, right?
Yeah, and I have to admit, I kind of wish I thought of the idea to get a passport a couple of months earlier, because the thought of that and the thought of going to Canada during it being at the Hockey Hall of Fame during the time the Rangers are in the playoffs kind of does sound intriguing.
Hey, you got that right. That's definitely true.
Yeah. It's got to be an interesting time of year to visit that museum.
Oh, man. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I've never been to Toronto, too. It'd be cool to go there.
Yeah. One of these years, I got to make the trip out there when the Rangers are on the road in Toronto, because I feel that'd be one heck of a trip to do that. Like, you know, leading up to the game, visiting the Hockey Hall of Fame, then attending the game. That's got to be something else.
True.
What I was going to say is one of the more unique Hall of Fame locations, because it's the only Hall of Fame I can think of that's located in the same city that has a team in that league.
That's true. That's true. And one last thing before we head on to our mock draft, Dan. I want to hit the Yankees real quick. As the Yankees now, they split the first two in Oakland. They go for the I actually said they go for the series win tonight, but that's not actually true. It's a four-game set, so I'll have to amend that. But, yeah, the Yankees going for win number two in the series tonight against Oakland. You know, the A's played the Yankees tough, shut them out on Monday 2-0. Yankees came back with the victory last night, trying to follow that up with Clark Schmidt, who's been off to a pretty good start for them so far. But, you know, what do you think about the Yankees being out west tonight, going for another victory out there tonight?
That looks like a game that's, like, winnable, because it just seems like it's Oakland. It's a team that's pretty much tanking. That's been tanking for the last bunch of years.
Yeah, Oakland's definitely been down on their luck for a little bit.
Yeah. Plus that, even the fan base of, I mean, you got to feel bad for that fan base, losing the first city to lose all its professional sports teams. I don't think that's ever happened with any of the major sports that a city has lost every franchise it had in the Big Four. Every franchise.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's a tough distinction to hold if you're, you know, an NFL or really just, you know, a major city in general. It's really just a shame what happened to Oakland, because really, too, I even saw an A's fan recently post a picture from the 2012 wild card game. And man, the place was just jam packed, and you know, the fans were pumped up to be hanging out and watching their Oakland A's. And it's just a situation that you never thought would deteriorate like this. You know, how could they not? They've had the A's for over 50 years. How could they not have ever provided them a better stadium?
Yeah, it surprised me how they sorted that out. Well, a whole bunch of mumbo jumbo, red tape, mumbo jumbo, all that stuff going on, trying to figure that out. They've reached the point where they haven't yet figured out how to get a new stadium, and they've been in a stadium that's been it's like in very rough shape, and it just got that bad, and then it's even getting that bad that the ownership has just led it to the point that it's just a team in flux of where they're going to play, because they're saying Sacramento is a temporary home, but that might be a permanent home, because it's not even a guarantee for them to get a team in Vegas of all places. But from what I hear, they might not even get the stadium in Vegas, I heard.
Yeah, I've heard there's a hold up with there. I know, yeah, they're playing for the AAA team, that they're playing some of their season at least in the AAA team's affiliate. So it's a shame what has happened to that once great franchise. And, you know, they already lost one team in, you know, over on the NFL side. So it's a shame that it's eventually going to lead to both. But speaking of the NFL, Dan, let's head right into our draft. This is the Best Seat in the House podcast 2024 NFL mock draft. And here we go. Let's get the right here, Dan. All right. The draft season is upon us. As we record this, it is now just about 24 hours until the NFL draft comes up. And it's always, you know, something special every year. Last year, we didn't do anything for it because both of our teams weren't picking in the top 10. Didn't really have the spice to it that it does this year. I feel like, you know, we did it 2 years ago. Now let's do it again. Both our teams back in the top 10, which isn't a good thing, but it is for our mock draft purposes. Dan, you are our Roger Goodell. Let's kick it off with the Chicago Bears at number one. Who do they select, Dan?
At number one, the Chicago Bears select quarterback Caleb Williams from the University of Southern California.
Caleb Williams, man, this guy is one of those players that has, you know, gotten just so much. Oh, let me get this out of here. He's gotten so much crap from, you know, a lot of people that really don't know much about him. You know, like me, for instance. I only know a little bit of Caleb Williams as a prospect, but, you know, the guy is, he's got to be number one for a reason. I know this is also the same guy that roots for a team that drafted Zach Wilson number two. But even though I am a little sketched out about drafting USC quarterbacks, you have to like what you see in Caleb Williams, right, Dan?
Yeah, you have to like what you see, and it's going to be like the pressure is going to be on him. He's going to a franchise that's been eager for getting to that promised land, so it's going to be a lot of pressure on him.
No doubt about it, a lot of pressure. As you took a little bit of a look there at our number one overall pick, Caleb Williams. So, I think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going. I think we all know pretty much the top three. And you know what? We're going to keep it going right here and stick with number two now with the Washington Commanders. Dan, take it away.
And at number two, the Washington Commanders select quarterback Jaden Daniels of Louisiana State University.
Yeah, there you go, from LSU. You know, Jaden Daniels. Definitely there is talk between Daniels at two, May at three. There's definitely discussions to be had there. But, you know, I feel like the LSU quarterback is going to go over May, North Carolina. Not as tough a schedule. And, you know, Daniels just has all the pieces, you know. And he's just one of those guys that, you know, you can just tell just kind of has it. You know, what do you think about Jaden Daniels, Dan, as a prospect?
Yeah, I think Jaden Daniels just has a huge upside as a quarterback, and could really be someone a guy that's franchise altering quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's got the size. He's got the, there's everything about him, the talent, the smarts. So, you know, no doubt about that. So we'll keep it rolling along here now. And Dan, coming up at number three is the New England Patriots. Take it away.
At number three, the New England Patriots select Drake May from North Carolina.
And yeah, there you go. Drake May from North Carolina. Drake May. A lot of people don't necessarily like the idea of him going number three. I don't know. I think that I might be one of those people, to be honest. I think that as good as May is, you know, I don't know, North Carolina, not a big school, especially quarterback wise. And as much as I could see him, you know, much like Daniel Jones was a couple of years ago, you know, coming out of a smaller school like that. I think he was Duke, though. But, you know, Daniel Jones has had his ups and downs in the NFL. But you could just tell, I feel like May is that type of quarterback. Dan, what do you think about Drake May?
Yeah, I think he's that quarterback. It's going to be 50-50 on if this guy pans out to what Patriots fans hope for. And it's got to be big shoes to fill with the standard for quarterback of the New England Patriots.
Yeah, that's the thing. Mac Jones was such a letdown there that, you know, especially after Brady, look, they still got the high expectations, like you said, and they have every reason to. So, yeah, definitely have to keep your eye on the Patriots
And that one's going to be a little interesting situation with the Patriots because all these years they've had probably one of the greatest coaches of all time in Bill Belichick, and they're now in a new situation. Is this team going to still be able to carry on what they've the legacy that has been left from Bill Belichick? Because now they're in a situation where they're having to coach, and where they're going to have a new coach, and they're going to have a general manager. So it's going to be a whole new thing that it's going to question if this is going to be pan out. It might be a little different than what Patriots fans are used to.
Well, that's true too, because with Belichick, you know, even though a lot of the stuff that Belichick did over the years was very methodical, and he kept a lot of it close to the vest, you almost began to be able to predict the certain things that he would do, like when he flipped his pick last year to the Pittsburgh Steelers just to screw the Jets because he knew that they were going to pick Broderick Jones, the offensive tackle. So, you know, I think that you know to expect with Belichick, with this new coach and this new regime, you don't really know what to expect. So, while we all expect them to stay at 3 and pick a quarterback, most probably Drake May, it's still up in the air. We don't know what's going on. New regime, new possibilities.
At number 4, the Arizona Cardinals draft wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. of Ohio State.
That's right, Marvin Harrison Jr. out of Ohio State. You know, they call him one of the biggest draft prospects coming out from wide receiver standpoint of all time, really. This is obviously the son of you know, former Colts wide receiver Marvin Harrison Sr. This is a kid that's coming up with a lot of expectations. Dan, do you think that there's any way he can even live up to them?
I think it could be. This one's another one that could be 50-50. There's just a lot of expectations. This guy is the son of probably one of the great wide receivers of all time, and it's gonna be a lot of pressure on this guy, and this one's another one that could go either way.
Yeah, it's definitely true. But you know, I mean, I think that there's no doubt that Marvin Harrison Jr. is gonna be an explosive, awesome receiver. No doubt about it. He's definitely gonna be a pro. It's just a matter of if he's going to be an all pro. You know what I mean? Like, is this guy going to be a perennial pro bowler? Is this guy going to be a future Hall of Famer? Or is he just going to be a guy that carves out a niche and is a pretty good receiver, but never lives up to his draft position, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So there's going to be a lot of question marks on this one.
Yeah. No doubt about that. So that's another pick down. Now we are coming up on number 5, Dan, for the L.A. Chargers, not the Arizona Cardinals. The L.A. Chargers, Dan, at number 5, what do we got?
At number five, the Los Angeles Chargers draft tight end Brock Bowers from Georgia.
That's right. We have Brock Bowers going number five. Now, a lot of people are going to find that a little controversial because Brock Bowers in a lot of drafts is going 10 to the Jets. A lot of drafts have him going 15 or somewhere in that range. But I don't know, Dan. I feel like Brock Bowers is a perfect player for the new regime out there with Harbaugh in L.A. They have, you know, some people have them going Joe Alt at left tackle, which they already have a great left tackle there. I don't see them going for an O lineman. They could go receiver with a guy like Malik Nabers or one of the other picks out there. But I feel like the upside of a guy like Brock Bowers and pairing him up with Justin Herbert is just going to be a little bit too much to resist. What do you think about this pick?
Yeah. I feel like this one could be a major improvement on this whole on the Chargers from last year. They could be a very formidable team the next year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, it's all about making the passing attack more dynamic for their young quarterback. And I feel like adding a guy like Brock Bowers is exactly the type of project that an offensive mind like Harbaugh would want to tackle. Now, we are coming up, Dan, on your team's pick, the New York Football Giants. And Dan, take it away at number six.
At number six, the New York Giants select wide receiver Malik Nabers of Louisiana State University.
That's right, Malik Nabers, the wide receiver, Jalen Daniels' wide receiver from the from LSU. One of the, you know, if it wasn't for the generational talent going in front of him, he'd be the top receiver in the draft. But what do you think, Dan, about this guy for the pick for your team? How does he fit on the Giants and, you know, a little weapon for Daniel Jones?
I feel this is a great addition to the team. I can't wait to see what this guy can do. I just feel like we're gonna finally have that great wide receiver core that we've been missing for a while. Because I feel like now with the situation where the way the Giants are playing out now, especially after losing Saquon Barkley, Daniel Jones or whoever is the quarterback is gonna be a lot more passing going on. So I feel this is probably really gonna be a key player on this team.
Oh yeah, no doubt about it. If the Giants picked up a guy like Malik Nabers, he would be the most impactful receiver the Giants have had since, obviously, probably Odell Beckham Jr. And you know, we all know how good he was for that short period of time for the Giants. So definitely, I agree with you there. I love Nabers at six for the Giants. I think he makes a lot of sense. But one thing before we move on from the Giants, because obviously, you know, we analyze these picks a little bit closer when it's the Jets and the Giants. But what do you think, you know, obviously a lot of mock drafts have, you know, other teams trading up to number four with the Cardinals to pick the fourth quarterback in the draft, J.J. McCarthy. Me and you don't have that going on in our draft where we were sticking to no trades. But he would have been available at number six for you. What do you think made you and the Giants go for, you know, a wide receiver in Nabers rather than a quarterback in McCarthy?
I just feel like it's a situation where maybe sometimes a quarterback that it's like 50-50. That I just feel like a wide receiver it might be more sure thing.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that too, because also J.J. McCarthy has gotten a lot of comps to Zach Wilson, my former quarterback, who, by the way, was traded by the Jets to the Denver Broncos the other day. So let's cover that real quick. But yeah, that's I agree with you though. I think the Giants are unless they could have gotten one of those top three quarterbacks, then one of those guys would have been worth taking wherever the Giants selected in the top six. But if it's not one of those three guys, I think you're pushing it for J.J. McCarthy, and you're better off in the long run selecting a guy like Malik Nabers. So I'm definitely with you on that. And as we keep it rolling along here right now, the Giants just selected at number six. Now the Tennessee Titans are up at number seven. And Dan, who we got going there?
At number seven, the Tennessee Titans got Joe Alt of Notre Dame.
That's right, Joe Alt from Notre Dame, the top tackle in the draft right now. This is a guy that everybody has a lot of hope for. Coming out of Notre Dame, they've produced a lot of great, offensive linemen in the past. And I don't think Alt is going to be any different. You know, early on this offseason, before the Jets gave me, Tyron Smith, Morgan Moses, and a couple of these other guys, which, by the way, I would still take Alt in a heartbeat. I used to think trading up for Alt was the right move for the Jets because of that. But I don't think that anymore, mostly because the draft capital it would take wouldn't be worth it when you have those other pieces and how Alt would contribute to the Jets. I mean, I'm sure they'd make him the swing tackle, but, Alt was my guy, but I don't think it's worth it to trade up that anymore. You know, Dan, what do you think about Joe Alt and his ability to be a top guy in the draft from an offensive tackle standpoint?
I think it's good. I think it's going to be – I think in the right place he'll turn out what we expect. So the Tennessee will have a pretty good player on the offensive line there.
Yeah, and Tennessee needs that. They need a building block. You know, that team is kind of lost right now, so they definitely need a building block in there. And a guy and a team that definitely needs a building block on the defensive side is the Atlanta Falcons. And Dan, who do we got the Falcons taking?
At number eight, the Atlanta Falcons select edge rusher Joe Turner out of Alabama.
That's right. They got Dallas Turner out of Alabama. This is a guy, when you take a guy from Alabama, you know that you're getting a polished player. You know that, this is a guy that's going to come in here and immediately make an impact on your team. And we were just talking about on the offensive line standpoint, the Tennessee Titans building around Joe Alt. This is a guy who the Falcons can build around defensively, right, Dan?
Yeah, exactly. I just feel like this is definitely one they could build around. Especially a player from Alabama that seems to always be great at getting these players pro ready. So they made a good choice in this one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and definitely a good move for there. And now we got number nine on the board now, Dan. Now number nine is coming up, the Chicago Bears again, as this is where the Bears originally would have been selecting, but that number one overall pick was from the Carolina Panthers. Now, at number nine, the Bears in their regular pick, their own pick, who do they take?
They, at number nine, the Chicago Bears select Leteu Leteu out of UCLA, and sorry about the pronunciation, it's always tough trying to learn the pronunciations of some of these names sometimes.
No, don't worry about it. You did a good job. And, he's a hell of a player out of my alma mater, UCLA. So shout out to him. Latu is, once again, he's not the top edge guy in the draft. And to be honest, taking a guy out of UCLA is a little bit more risky. But, the Bears, I felt like it was either going to be the edge rusher or the corner. I went edge. I think this guy's a top 10 talent. And for me, the Bears, if you have two top 10 picks, right, to me, you're going to go one offense and one defense. The Jets did it in 22 when they picked Sauce and Garrett Wilson. Last year, the Texans did it when they picked the quarterback and the Will Anderson. So, you know, it's something that I think it makes a lot of sense, improved defensively and offensively. So I really expect the Bears to go defense with their second pick in the top 10. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a fair pick. It's probably they were going to go defense, and this probably was the best available. So they went right on this choice.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And so then finally, we get to number 10 in the first round. That is my New York Jets, and Dan, I'll be playing the role of Roger Goodell on this one. Because at number 10, the New York Jets select wide receiver Rome Odunze out of Washington. And to me, I get really excited when I think about a guy like this joining the Jets team, man, because they just, last year we saw it in a lot of different ways. The Jets just had no playmakers on that team. And, when you look at a guy like Odunze here, who playing for Washington, it's a D1 school, but they're not the cream of the crop. But this is a guy who still put up huge numbers, and to see him in green and white next year would be great, because Mike Williams, obviously the wide receiver they signed from the Chargers in the offseason, is going to be dependent upon. But he's coming off an ACL injury, so who knows? And also obviously Garrett Wilson's going to be looking to step up even more so now with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. But I just feel like you can never have too much help, and Rome Odunze is a hell of a talent.
Yeah, exactly. Good choice. He went through giving Aaron Rodgers hopefully another weapon to be able to throw to. And it's going to be in what's going to be a big make or break year of Aaron Rodgers' entire legacy on the Jets. It's hinting on this season, so they're doing everything they can to try to help get them to where they need to, because that window is closing fast, maybe 1-2 years at best.
That's right, Dan, and that's what the Jets have to do. They have to get Rodgers as many weapons as possible, and to be honest, I think that this is a long time coming, because Aaron Rodgers, as starting quarterback, his team has never selected a wide receiver in the first round during his tenure as starting quarterback. So it's long overdue that the Jets give Aaron Rodgers some young talent to help build around,
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so there we go, everybody. That is the 2024 Best Seat in the House podcast, NFL mock draft numbers 1 through 10. Hope everybody enjoyed that. That's always fun to do, right?
Yeah, it's always a fun little thing we did. A fun little thing the NFL draft. And I feel like it's going to be a little interesting NFL draft. I might have to have a 2-3 thing, because they'll have because I know the Mets have off tomorrow. So and of course the Rangers playoff game isn't their next playoff game is not until Friday. So I'll be having a Knicks game on my TV, and I'll have the NFL draft on my phone. And depending when the Giants make their pick, if it's like around like halftime time, I'll have TV. I'll see me on whatever, but I'll be keeping an eye out on it on what's going on with the draft as I'm watching the Knicks at the playoffs.
Exactly, man. It's going to be another one of those two screen nights here for us New Yorkers. Like you said, luckily we got an extra day with the Rangers as they don't play until Friday night, but the Knicks do come back and play tomorrow night or tonight, if you're watching this as it debuts live on YouTube. We appreciate everybody for tuning in and checking out our NFL mock draft edition of the Best Seat in the House podcast. And Dan, before we get out of here, do you have anything else to plug for yourself?
Sure, I got to plug my YouTube, my Twitter, my Twitter, Boba103NYC. You Instagram bubble 718DK. Also, you will be seeing a lot of, you'll be seeing some bubble content on my YouTube. It's one word, Daniel Curlin. You'll be seeing content on there during the playoffs, especially if at some point, because you're going to see it probably a couple of times during the playoffs, especially if this, if like things like the Rangers and Knicks, their playoff runs get deep. You'll be seeing us, a video of us at a bar watching a game. And if the case is Knicks or the Rangers, one win away from a championship, you will see footage of us, a camera on us at a bar. We'll figure some way to have the camera on us during that live reaction. And also, I do gotta say, you guys who subscribe to our Patreon, and you get early access to my YouTube videos.
That's right, and also Bobo's Trackside Minute. Which, Dan, by the way, we need a new Trackside Minute. We haven't had one.
Oh yeah, I'm probably gonna film the Trackside Minute maybe tonight, tomorrow. That, you know, discussing what happened at Talladega, Alabama, and that was such a wild finish. So it's gonna be a lot to talk about what happened at Talladega, which I hear is a very fun race weekend to attend. I've never attended that race weekend, but I probably got to one of these days. I gotta make the trip down there to Talladega one of these years for that race one of these years. But I'll be talking about that.
Very cool. So make sure to tune in for that. And yeah, we'll be back on Sunday on Patreon. If you want to check that out, subscribe. It's just $5. Patreon.com/bestseatinthehousepodcast. Don't forget, you can check out the show on Twitter or X. At @bsith_podcast. You can check me out on there at my last name, Kramer NY. Don't forget on Instagram at @bsithinthehousepodcast. We're also on Kick and Twitch under the same name. So make sure to check us out there and everywhere. We're all over the place. Apple Podcasts and everything too. Spotify if you want to hear the audio version of the podcast. So
we'll even be in the thing. The show into your head if that's possible.
Exactly.
If that's possible.
Exactly. Just like you know, something out of like the head that wouldn't die from MST3K, you know?
Yep.
So, all right, everybody, we appreciate you tuning in and supporting us like always. For Daniel Bobo Curlin, I'm Rob Kramer. We'll catch you next time on the Best Seat in the House podcast, everybody.